listening to Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Allison Bektesh. This fall, we have brought Cross Currents back for a limited run where we check in with the leaders of our community. For the conclusion of that series, we now check in with our very own Carolyn Heldman, outgoing executive director of Aspen Public Radio. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Allison. Geez, the way you say it makes me start to get all emotional about it all.
This is going to be hard.
Yeah.
The interview and just to see you go. So I've said it for 3.5 years that I am here because of you, and so is the rest of my staff. You had a vision and an energy about you, about where we could go as a local media organization, and that drew us all in. So I'm going to start by talking with you about radio. I want to talk to you more about the role of media and journalism, NPR, and then local news. So we're going to go wide
Great.
To narrow.
Yeah.
And let's just start with that wide shot. We know our listeners are NPR junkies. What is it? What does National Public Radio do that gets people hooked?
You know, I think the power of voice is maybe even more important and acknowledged today than it was 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, I think we're in a renaissance of audio and storytelling, and radio was there before it was cool. I heard a statistic about podcasts, and I think that it was that there are 50 or 55,000 podcasts, and I could be wrong, out in the world today. It's a very, very competitive market.
Yeah.
But what that is just voice. It's while in some areas and some arenas we think glitter and glitz and image and editing and all this stuff that was part of my early incarnations in media at MTV,
mm-hmm.
and that very powerful visual medium kind of took over, and it seemed like that's the way it was headed, that
okay.
we were headed into some direction in the United States or even globally that you had to compete that way in the market to get attention. Wow, we've completely 180 degrees it and stripped it down, because just the raw power of voice. And I think that's what NPR offers. I think it cuts through the clutter of all of that. And when you hear just people explaining something or how something means something to them in their voice, with their hesitations, with their gasps, with their inability to articulate sometimes, like
yeah.
I'm doing right now, that stuff is incredibly powerful. And that's what drew me to be a listener first and then want to come work at a member station.
That's what you mean by power of voice, is just the humanity of expressing yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I, you know, I've noticed this really interesting thing, especially with all of you, all the staff that's primarily millennials.
Uh-huh.
I have noticed a propensity these days to refer to people as humans. Have you noticed this?
I suppose I just did it on accident, but that makes sense. And I think you're right. We are more trained or more attuned to be a collective than genders or colors or, you know, even geographically identify.
Yes, exactly. And I think to take that even further, I think to call someone human distinguishes us from that which is not human, that's accompanying us more and more frequently with Siri, with Alexa, with other robots that are, many people are worried about the intrusion of robot and AI in our lives. So you all, having maybe more nativist to technology than certainly I am, you make it a point to distinguish human voice. And I find that really fascinating. And that's what radio does.
That's so interesting. And you're right. So millennials are drawn to radio, and every one of us has that non-human interaction. We have that phone in pocket, in hand, 24/7.
Yep.
So we have the choice between human interaction and non-human interaction in a way that's never been a
right.
choice before.
Right.
So I'm curious, though, because I do feel a little bit that public media is on this precipice where, like, can we then just keep doing what NPR has been doing for 40, 50, 60 years and have that be sustainable? Or does public radio have to change it up a little?
The existential question, Allison.
Teach me.
The answer is I don't know the answer. And it's one of the reasons I'm sort of cowardly running because I honestly don't know. What I believe is that people's voices and human stories are going to become more and more and more important. And if NPR at large and stations like Aspen Public Radio continue to hone the craft of telling those stories and get better and better in providing platforms for people to talk and to speak to one another, especially, how could that possibly go away? I'm not sure that that answers your question.
Well, one thing that you've said to us, and why I think we're also excited to be part of this team, is let's try it. And you don't even have the it in mind. It's like, let's try these things. That's so exciting.
Yeah, that's one thing that I'm proud of having done. We could have just said, let's just keep doing the same thing over and over again because it works. And one of the things that, you know, I didn't want to do is that. It was way more fun to try new things. And we have people who are courageous and smart like you who can just start up a new show or do a series of election forums or town halls or Spotlight Health, you know, things like that, that we had never done before and got really good at because we challenged ourselves and said, what the hey, let's just try it. So that was fun.
I think that brings it then into, as we narrow our focus, that role of voice and expression and communication. We know that that draws people in on the national level through NPR. What does it mean to have that local member station, though? Like, what's the role then of Aspen Public Radio, knowing that those are the things that draw people in?
Well, that's a really good question, because being a consumer and having kind of an inside seat like you do to what's going on at NPR nationally, there's kind of a pivot, and a lot of stations are following suit to be that competitor to the device that we all have in our pocket that's following us around, the computer that's doing the alert. So you're never, ever, ever going to be far away from the news that's happening. Where I think we distinguish ourselves, and we as public media in general, are the stories and the deep dives into things. And so I think that's the trick, is to keep doing more of that. And whether that's in a long form news story that people might hear in Morning Edition or All Things Considered, or in a public event where we can all listen to each other, I think that's the key. If I were running the world, I would go hard that way.
You're listening to Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Allison Bechtesh, running the world for us in her final turn as executive director at Aspen Public Radio. It's Carolyn Hillman. Stay with us. Carolyn, what you just mentioned is, you know, looking through other ways to have deeper, not that instant gratification on news, but those deeper conversations. I would say Cross Currents is one of the things that we started that provides that. So you launched the program Cross Currents. Why? What was missing?
My predecessor, Andrew Todd, charged me with doing that. It was his notion to do a weekly public affairs show, and that was when he hired me in 2008. He said, "Do it." So I didn't come up with it myself. I was just lucky to have that be part of my job description. And early on, I would joke to people that my favorite time of year, the months leading up to the big summer events that happen here, because I would get access to the guest list early. And it was, if you're a curious person, many people who are listening to this show may have been guests of mine over the years on Cross Currents. And how I would introduce the concept of what we were going to do is that you're sitting next to an incredibly curious and nosy dinner companion at a dinner party, and you don't get to ask them any questions. I'm just going to pepper you with questions, and we're just going to talk like we're at a dinner party. So going back to those months, like, that's how at first, when I first started doing it, it was just loaded up with people from the summer events, Ideas Fest, et cetera.
So to get a little jargoning, when we say public affairs, how does that separate from news, from something you would hear during the morning hits, and why have both in the basket?
Well, I think you should answer that question more than I do, actually, really, because frequently, at least in the first few years of doing this show, the only reason that a particular guest would be on Cross Currents was because they were coming to Aspen. That was okay. The only link to Aspen was that they would be speaking here at some point in the next couple of months. So not news.
Right.
Not news that, not local news for sure, but to me, really juicy piece of candy.
Yeah.
So you explain what the theory is now, because it's changed, I think.
Yeah. You know, we talk about attention spans a lot, and a feature on In the Morning is 4 minutes long, which sounds tiny, like if you were at the dinner party, right? And you had to do a speed dating, like 4 minutes. I don't know that person.
Right.
So the half hour alone lets you talk about something deeper, lets you get to know that person deeper. I think it also, on the news side, if someone I can evade a question for 4 minutes easily. I can say anything, like I was born to talk. But it's harder to evade a question for 30 minutes. The trick, though, is that 4 minutes actually is really long.
Right.
You can get so much information. And as you become a radio producer, you find that out. So the trick then for 30 is, like, what value are we adding by not distilling anything down, by not getting directly to the focus of the story? And it's a balance. You know, I think, like you said, everyone has a podcast. There's people out there talking for 30 minutes at a time, and it's not worth listening to, even though they got really deep into it.
Right. And it's just them.
Yeah.
Blithering on.
Right.
One of the things that I think that your team and you are really good at, and NPR is really good at, is in those 4 minutes, which you already alluded, you said, or you didn't allude, you said, it sounds like a really short time. It's a long time to experience as a listener.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, through sound, take someone to a place. You can plant them firmly in a spot that is inaccessible to them otherwise through sound. And that's definitely the difference between the news features
mm-hmm.
and this long-form conversation. You know, think Terry Gross. She can keep up an interview with somebody for 40, 45 minutes. And if you find that person, you're going to probably find that person interesting just because
right.
she's a good interviewer. It's a different skill set than what you guys do, which is take somebody to a place or introduce them to someone in a very short time and really transport your mind into a new arena.
Another benefit of having that the local member station, right, and then all the NPR content is that I can live in Aspen and visit everywhere in the world within an hour by listening to Morning Edition or something,
right.
something like that. With Cross Currents, this half-hour public affairs program, do you have some memorable moments? Were you able to use that time in a way that still sticks with you?
I think back on some of the Cross Currents the way I think about when I was notably working at MTV and some of the kind of embarrassing moments I have for you. One of them was I interviewed – it wasn't Ideas Fest, it was Security Forum. Paula Broadwell was here promoting her book that she had written on General David Petraeus. And she was a fascinating, fascinating interview. Really, really bright, really charismatic. And like a few of the other interviews I did on Cross Currents, I ended up with sort of a girl crush on her. She was a doctorate student. I think the book was part of her thesis or
wow.
was her thesis. Or in the interview, she would not take my bait. I was trying to talk to her. I had not counted on doing this. But when I met her, I wanted to talk to her about women in a non-traditional arena for sure,
military.
Because she was embedded with the Marines
cool.
While she was covering Petraeus. I wanted to talk to her about that and about the role of femininity and whether that was helpful at all or if she was able to utilize those skills, and she would not go there at all.
And it might have been just my inability to articulate the question well enough to get her to answer. Let's take a listen, though.
Tell me about challenges that perhaps you still might face about beauty and your looks being an asset or a hindrance. Do you mind talking about
no,
that?
No, I thought you were going to ask just general challenges I face, and
well,
I'd like to say this first, or I can come back to it.
Yeah, we can talk about general challenges, but I was struck by that.
I don't consider myself beautiful, if that's what you're inferring. I mean, just I think the concept of taking care of yourself and having in my education, it was having good military bearing, so good posture. You know, your clothes are clean and pressed. Your boots in the military are shined. You should always present yourself well, because I think then you act more professionally, and people, you know, they perceive that you are more of a professional. So I think taking care of yourself is important, number one.
So that was a miss.
Any other memorable interviews or times that missed the mark with the show?
Well, one of my favorite interviews at first, my first few years, as I said before, were sort of all these people that would come to town. And then I started digging into the locals.
Great.
Because, wow, there's so many, you know this already. I mean, you personally just kind of blossomed here, and you've really embraced Aspen and the Aspen idea and how cool it is here and how many fantastic people there are here. Once I started to really get to know this community and all the people that run things, or under the, you know, behind the scenes folks too, and unsung people.
Yeah.
Randy Udall was one of my favorite memories. He was instrumental with CORE, the Community Office for Resource Efficiency. He was the guest speaker at a Jessica Caddo dialogue series at the Wheeler Opera House, which I moderated.
With all the rigs and the drills that have been set up in Garfield County right now, what happens to them when they're unproductive? How long does a typical drill stay there, and what happens when it's done?
I know you guys have strong feelings about this, because I talked to Georgianne and she said, you know, I'm tired of importing oil. And I talked to someone else who said earlier, you know, I feel like if we're treating the earth like this, we shouldn't live here, and yet I'm culpable. There's so many, I know gas and oil bring up strong emotions, so just share them. Let's share them amongst ourselves, because I think all of these perspectives are useful. So there are only 20 rigs working in Garfield County now. Many of them have gone away to other places where they can make more money, basically. Some places east of the Mississippi, and many of them are going after the tight oil, the shale oil, not our oil shale, but shale oil.
Weston Boyles, who is a local, maybe your age,
okay.
Who started up a nonprofit called Rios to Rivers. There's a proposed series of 5 megadams to be built in Chilean Patagonia on 2 of the country's largest rivers. Rios to Rivers has partnered with a local Chilean senator and young kayakers from Chile to oppose the dams.
2 years ago, a friend of mine, Chris Hassett, and I were down floating the Rio Bacar. The Rio Bacar and nearby Rio Pascua are threatened by the construction of 5 large dams. We decided to float the river and meet as many people as we could along the banks. We happened to show up at a birthday party for a grandmother gaucha, and her grandson was there and mentioned that he would be going down the river with his youth kayak club the next week. We quickly finished our trip and joined the kids the next week. After spending a few days with them, we realized this truly was a story that needed to be told. Here was a group of young kayakers who'd grown up paddling on the Baker and learning from its beautiful waters.
Did you know prior to going on the trip that these 2 rivers were threatened, or did it just so happen?
We knew prior to the trip that these 2 rivers were threatened.
Was that one of the reasons you went there?
Mm-hmm. That was one of the... We decided to go down the rivers because they were threatened, and we wanted to see what they looked like before it would be damaged.
Okay. Yeah. And so then came the spark.
Then we discovered this group of beautiful young kayakers, some of the most charismatic spokespersons for the rivers, and decided to make this documentary. We finished up the documentary, brought it up here to the United States. It screened around at Aspen Shorts Fest, Wild and Scenic, down in Chile.
Paul Anderson, Huts for Vets, mm-hmm. started up this amazing organization right here in our backyard.
One really memorable story is a guy, a Carbondale builder named Tim Myers, who had heard a story on Planet Money when it was still part of Morning Edition, I think, about the efforts to rebuild in Haiti after the earthquake, and the money had been funneling into the country, but it wasn't getting anywhere. And he was so moved by that story, he ended up starting up a 501c3 of his own, and went and has pretty much devoted his life since to rebuilding and helping. He's built schools, and he was a guest on Cross Currents.
Adam had sent me an email.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Cross Currents. I'm Carolyn Heldman. On today's show, Tim Myers. He's a Carbondale builder who spent the last 2 years of his life helping build a school in Haiti after hearing a story on NPR.
A school that was started in Haiti, and it was started from funds that listeners sent in to Planet Money. And of course, you know, as a public radio, they can't really accept these types of things, so they funneled it into a bank account and sent it to the principal of the school. And originally he was just going to add classrooms, actually fix up the lean-to classrooms that they had. But he thought that $3,000 would be enough to build a school. So he took off, hired a contractor, and they got a foundation out of it. I heard the story, and I says, well, $3,000. So if he thought he could build a school worth $3,000, maybe we double, we can get it done. I says, gee, this should be a piece of cake, right? I can go do this.
For $6,000, you could put together a school.
You would think that things would be cheaper in Haiti. It would be easier, less expensive. Everything costs more there. But steel, metal, it's all imported. The good block is imported from the Dominican Republic.
Oh, which is just...
Right next door.
Yeah, right there.
But
so you heard the story and thought... Well, I'm gonna help.
Yeah, you know, as a builder, someone who's been doing that for the past 30 plus years, I says, you know, let's do something for somebody that needs it. So
you are listening to Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Allison Bechtesh. Honored to be here interviewing Carolyn Heldman, outgoing executive director. Stay with us. You've been here a decade. Our country, our culture has shifted during that time. And has Aspen Public Radio responded?
I think we have. And I think we've also missed something important in this community. And I don't want to look back and think, darn, missed, you know, regret. But early on, especially given that we as a staff have a lot of young women working here, I think we missed bringing Me Too into this community as a conversation. And it's not over. And I believe that Response, as you know, did a forum. But that's it's different. Mm-hmm. Violence against women mm-hmm. is different than workplace discrimination and the rampant experience of less overt examples of. And it's not violence, but it certainly takes its toll. I think that absolutely happens in this community. And I think we as a station should convene a group to talk about it. So that's something I think that is a national story that certainly has local import or local resonance that is unexplored. And I will leave that hopefully to you and to the new ED. To maybe do that if it seems to come up. I think it's a tricky one because it's such a small community and there are people that are probably still nervous to raise their hand and name names. I've had my own experiences in this community of people in high-powered spots.
But there is that whisper network, right? Like you would tell it to your girlfriend.
Yep.
So like what raises it to the level where we just need to tell it to everyone?
I don't know.
What about the last 2 years under President Trump? First of all, funding for public media has been in threat multiple times since you've been in the executive position, but also the specific attack on the role of journalism and journalists and fake news. Like that term, how has that churned up and changed from when you thought you were getting into news 10 years ago and that would have never been brought up?
Right. In public media, you used to sort of hold your breath when there was a Republican administration almost exclusively a Republican administration would threaten funding for public media. Then we had Obama for 8 years, and now it's scary again. Although I have to say, I'm on a level of an order of magnitude more worried about the threats to freedom of the press and the language that President Trump uses about the press, more than by an order of magnitude more worried about that than I am about CPB funding. I truly am terrified about fabric of our democratic institutions like the press. It's really unprecedented and worrisome.
Can you just tape it back together once things settle down or there's a new leadership?
Well, I think what is even more troubling about it is it's revealed these
schisms that existed already.
And so the people who had them are now expressing them or able to express them in a way that was that was bottled. Mm-hmm. So the genie is out of the bottle now. And I don't know that you can tape it back together.
But it's an easier genie to fight maybe out of the bottle than hidden away. We know what we're up against.
Right, could be. Yeah, that's a good point.
This is going to sound like a promotion, but it's just coming to me now. I mean, I think yet again, that's another reason to have a local news staff, right? Like if you can be distrustful of the national news or like a segment as a whole. And right now, I mean journalists, but like substitute race, substitute ethnicity, anything like that. Instead, you can be worried or suspicious of a group as a whole. But if you know our reporters, if you know a local reporter, if you've been interviewed by one and you see how they've turned that into a responsible report, that can rebuild just on the local level. And as long as everyone here knows they have responsible journalists and can maybe, you know, switch, like apply that to journalists as a whole.
Right. And just because I can't help myself, because we're nearing the end of the year as well, too, I will have to just throw in one more pitch that you, as a listener, in support of what you just heard Allison articulate about the independence and the fierce kind of nonpartisan way that we cover news and that we give voice to and bring the news that matters to you to your ears and to your home. And this is almost a third pledge drive. It's sort of it's very quiet. It's not nearly as intrusive or as loud or in your face as our other fun pledge drives we have in winter and summer. But this one is important. So we know a lot of you at the end of the year like to make charitable contributions. We need you to send in your check by December 31st to support what we do.
Carolyn, I don't want to feel like I missed my moment. I'm sure everyone listening is curious about what you are doing next.
Mm. I don't know. My plan now is to do nothing for a little bit and to weigh my options and sort out what I want to do next. But right now, I'm going to be hanging out a lot, skiing.
Well, it gives us plenty of time to then honor the work that you have done here at Aspen Public Radio. You've been listening to Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Allison Bechtish, speaking with Carolyn Heldman, outgoing executive director and creator of this program, among many others here at the station. Carolyn, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Allison.